This is a Rooster Teeth production.
Okay, this is Gus's microphone. This will be episode 16, so it'll be the end of the season, because we're a seasonal podcast. this will wrap up the season, and then we'll figure out if we're doing interstitial stuff or not.
I hope so.
Gus doesn't care.
Man,
Good morning, Gus.
Hi. I know
hey,
we have.
Good morning, Gus.
Hey, good morning, Eric. Hey, good morning, Jason.
It's Jason. Jason. Hi, Jason. You're here. Hello. With us. Sorry, I'm distracted. There's ants eating a Cheerio down here, and it looks really cool. Or maybe it's a Fruit Loop. I don't know.
It's a Cheerio.
We had to drive around a lot to try to find a park this morning, like way more than we should. For a city that supposedly prides itself on having tons of parks, they need to have tables in more parks.
We pride ourselves on our public spaces, and then I hear this from everybody, and I get it. You go anywhere else in America, and you go, oh, shit, the parks are way better everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We really are making do here.
We're just, like, carve out some space and be like, hey, look, it's a park.
That's grass. It's not a park.
Speaking of which, I took some photos yesterday, and it was for the other podcast, but I wanted to show them to you guys, too, because I think they fit here as well. Was Austin always this fucking gross? That's Town Lake.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it just rained,
but I've been here for 25 years. It's just rained a bunch. I don't think it used to get this bad.
I don't know.
Like, the ducks and the turtles are scared to get in the water.
Scared?
Did
you
want to
talk
get
to
in?
Them?
I watched them.
Those ducks are fine.
I think it's always been bad to an extent. You and I used to talk about maybe like carrying a trash bag in our car to just pick up trash whenever we saw it.
Yeah, that's true. I still carry them actually, and I have a grabber now, and I go up in Northwest Park.
We bought a grabber too.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I like
for picking up trash. Yeah. We haven't used it yet.
I sometimes get up on a Saturday morning and go to like Northwest Park or wherever a park and pick up trash.
Are there any picnic tables there?
You know, I've never evaluated it for picnic tables. I evaluated it for baseball throwing, but not picnic tables.
When I lived in Puerto Rico, I didn't have anything to do. I'd wake up early in the morning and I'd go down to a beach near where I lived, and there was like a homeless dude who lived down there, and he would collect bottles to turn them in for recycling and make money. So I just go around the beach. I'd like hung out with this homeless dude in the mornings, and I just help him pick up bottles and like put them in giant bags so he could take them off and go sell them for recycling.
At the end of the week, you were like, "Cut me in."
Yeah, where's my money?
Is he technically homeless if he lives at the beach? Isn't that just his home?
Well, I don't think he owns the beach.
Well,
right?
Who
he's
owns
like
anything?
Slipping
really?
On sleeping on the beach. He had no permanent shelter.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
What do you think he's up to today?
I don't know. Hopefully bigger and better things. Maybe he's got a fleet of people working for him picking up bottles. He's like, hey, wait
Started
a minute.
A recycling empire.
Yeah. I think it's always been kind of dirty, but like Jason said, it did just rain.
I know it just rained. It looked like that last week too. Like, I just feel like it's always, I ride my bike over there most days, and I just feel like it's gotten progressively grosser over time. I don't know, maybe it's just my age.
Yeah, you're just old.
And recency bias, but it just feels like it's always grody.
As you get older, your spine starts curving, so you're looking more and more down
that's
at the
probably
ground.
What it is,
you just notice it more.
I just don't know how all those people are swimming out in that and sups every fucking weekend to dock and get fucking rashes from poisonous algae.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
So gross.
So we got coffee this morning from Civil Goat, which is down like on Guadalupe and 34th. I've never been there before. You said it's a chain?
I think there's one over like in Cuernavaca or somewhere in that area that has like a goat or goats outside as well. Like actual goats. You can go like have coffee and
I don't like the idea
goats.
Of a civil goat.
Okay.
Goats should be like
kind of mean,
unpredictable,
right?
Right, and mean and wild and like anarchist. They should be like headbutting you when you're not looking.
So you think goats are anarchists?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
They'll eat anything.
Yeah.
It's true.
You should take them on that walk with you when they see those Whataburger cups on the ground. Did you see?
They should put goats in Town Lake.
Aqua goats.
There was a ranking of like all the Whataburgers in the state of Texas, like from best to worst.
Yep.
And like every Whataburger in the Austin area was like near the bottom on
that
list.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like,
I saw a similar thing for Dairy Queen. Supposedly, the best Dairy Queen in Texas is on Burnett.
Oh, that
one? We're talking about the opposite, though.
Yeah, this is
the worst Whataburgers in Texas.
I know, I'm just saying
Oh, okay.
That's interesting that we both saw stories about the best and worst of
the eighth best Whataburger in Texas is in Eagle Pass.
Oh, yeah?
Have you been to that one?
No, I didn't. It wasn't there when I lived there.
Where's the best Whataburger in Texas?
Best? Is it Corpus?
No, Corpus was not done. I think the best one, the top 10 were all on the border. Number one was in Laredo. It was all like Laredo, Harlingen, Eagle Pass, McAllen, El Paso was like the top 10.
Hey, those fuckers down there aren't bringing their money back. The food's not good. They're not like us. Be, oh, I'm, you know, drunk at 3 in the morning and need to eat it.
They're drunk at 3 in the afternoon.
That's true.
I almost got arrested at the Whataburger headquarters in Corpus.
Not even the restaurant, but like the headquarters?
Well, like the main Whataburger. The first Whataburger one in Corpus, the A-frame down there. We were, this is when we were on a surf trip when I was in the Army. So it had been like 96, maybe 95. And we had been surfing all day. We went to Whataburger for dinner and we were in the parking lot and my friend was having trouble with his binoculars. And I was like trying to focus him. And there's like a Hilton or something across the street, like a hotel. And I was just looking up, just trying to focus it on the hotel. And just somebody tapped me on the shoulder and I turned around and it was a cop. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm fucking with these binoculars. And he's like, looks like you're looking in hotel rooms. And I was like, I don't think that's what I was doing. I just trying to get it focused. And he's like, would you like to go to jail? And I was like, no, sir. And he's like, I think you should put those away.
Is that a crime?
Okay. Wow. I don't know.
That doesn't sound like a crime to me.
Sound no, like
you're
crime.
You're out in a public space
doing some extra seeing.
Yeah, you're not like cracking open the windows.
Tell that to the local Corpus Christi APD.
APD? the CCPD, right?
CCPD, yeah.
I don't think that's a crime. That doesn't sound like a crime.
Let's try it.
But I get like the whole peeping Tom thing. It's invasion of privacy, but the curtains are open. You can close your curtains.
I don't know.
Like if you were just standing there looking at the window, would you get in trouble?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. He may have just been.
I think he was messing.
Yeah. But it scared the shit out of me. I was like 19. I'm not gonna argue with a cop. Yet.
Do you guys want to like introduce Jason beyond? Hey, this is Jason. Or
Jason, do you want to?
Jesus Christ.
We've.
Introduce yourself.
But he's here now.
Jason is our first guest we've ever had, right. And the first guest we wanted to have on this show.
Because what?
Okay, I'll do it. Because Jason is one of our oldest friends in. Actually, Jason, you are the oldest friend I have in Austin. I met you.
I thought Jason was younger than you.
I met. Christ, is really.
Yeah, Jeff and I started at the call center on the same day.
Yeah, we started at Telenetwork on the same day.
Yep.
And you were the first person I ever talked to. We had a training session in the conference room. And
was that like January 99?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember you just struck up a conversation with you and I liked you.
I liked you too.
Thanks,
what did y'all talk about? What was like the initial, what was the end? How did it go?
Man, what did we talk about?
I remember.
What did we talk about?
I remember.
Music?
I think we probably talked about music and stuff and in our lives. Because I remember you were like, I'm just going to UT. I'm looking for some extra money. And I was like, I have a wife. And you were like, what?
I was like, what? Yeah, what the? Why would
you
do that?
I got a wife. I got a family I got to support. And you're like,
I was 20.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny looking back, like how young we all were at that time. Very different perspective. Not looking at the trash as much down on the ground.
Yeah, that's true.
Never looking at. We were the trash down on the ground back then.
We were looking,
you know,
looking up at the people.
We were looking up.
You were living. You were a UT student. You were living on campus.
I lived on
then.
Campus, yeah. And I got that job because I won't say her last name. Lindsay. I knew Lindsay from like UT news group.
This Lindsay. Or
which no, the fuck is Lindsay.
That? Isn't the
well, Laura? You're thinking of Laura.
Laura is what I'm thinking.
Well, so the reason I won't say Lindsay's last name is because I can't remember it. Honestly, I don't know this girl Lindsay who I knew from.
Is she the one who dated Jacob?
Who's Jacob?
Who the fuck is Lindsay? Did Lindsay work at TNI?
Yeah, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Yeah, maybe that sounds right.
This is the best episode of this podcast.
she was Laura's roommate. Yeah, who had that party?
Yes, that
friends.
Is who.
Yeah. Bleep that last name.
Bleep the last name, yeah.
The five times we just said it.
It was twice. Yeah. So you knew her?
Yeah.
How'd you know her? I didn't know you knew her.
Because in Jester, the dorm that we lived in, there was a news group that, like, a bunch of us who played foosball in the basement of Jester, like, met each other in this fucking UT news group and became friends in the dorm. And she told us that she worked there. And I was like, shit, I need some money for, I don't know, Chinese food or something. I don't know what.
Damn.
20-year-olds spend money on.
Were you, did you have like
She was like, yeah, they'll hire anybody. I was like, that sounds like my kind of job.
So you were at UT, were you a freshman?
In 99, I was at that point, I was probably like, that was the second half of my sophomore year.
Did you have
year,
a scholarship or something? How did you go to school?
No, I didn't have a scholarship.
I'd say probably
loans.
Not, you got a job.
Loans. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper then, though, than it is now.
Yeah, for sure.
Loans and credit cards. Mm. Back then, they would like, I remember in particular getting a phone call in my dorm room, like on a Saturday morning, it waking me up and being like, hello. And they were like, hey, this is Discover Card. Do you want a credit card? And I was like, yeah. And then I just gave all my info to this person who called me. I didn't call them, right? I didn't even think about it till like fucking years later. And then they sent me the card, and then, you know, I used it. It worked and everything. But I don't think they, I mean, one, that was dumb on my part, but I don't think they can do that anymore. Just like, call
hey,
you up.
Hey, you want some credit?
When I was in basic training in 93, getting a credit card was like a part of processing into basic training. They're like, and then if you want a credit card, you can get a $2,000 limit over here, and you just like, you go to that line. And you
everybody
fill it
went,
out,
right?
Then you're instantly $2,000 in debt.
Yeah.
18 years old, and you're like, oh, yeah. This is how, now I'll be in the military forever now. I got it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny. It was a similar thing, but not that anyone called me, but my freshman year, the only year I went to college, there was just like people around, and it's like standing around campus, like, here, fill this out, you get a credit card with a $4,000 limit. Like, Okay, then instantly $4,000 in debt.
Yeah.
I ruined my credit for years.
Yep. Everybody did it.
And yeah, it was a fucking nightmare.
You had some sweet Z Cavaricci jeans and British Knights. Like, that's what I spent online on, fucking dumb
clothes.
Hey,
one thing I was thinking about when we were driving around just a minute ago looking for a picnic table.
Took us 20
minutes. Have y'all ever talked about when we tried to do the Trudy's Grand Slam?
I don't think we ever have talked
about
it. Because
it's kind
of
a little bit of a misnomer because there were only three Trudy's at the time. There's not really four. Which
but there were
you
six
need to get
drinks.
Yeah, so at Trudy's, they make a drink called the Mexican Martini, which is basically just a giant margarita on the rocks. They serve it in a shaker. You get a little martini glass.
Tastes good.
It's good. They only serve you two
you
of them.
Shaker.
Yes, they leave you the whole shaker. It's probably like five drinks per drink. They'll serve you two of them, and then they cut you off. Not only can you not order another Mexican martini, you can't order any booze at all after that. And so we had an idea. There were three Trudy's at the time. We were like, let's do the Trudy's Grand Slam. We're going to get two at each Trudy's and see if we can get through six of them. Jeff's first wife was going to drive us and not drink. And we went to this first Trudy's that's over here by campus, which I think is currently closed for renovations. And we drank our two Mexican martinis. We're getting drunk. The waiter comes by and is like, we haven't had a chance to leave yet. The waiter's like, hey, my shift's about to change. Can I close you guys out before the next waiter gets here? We were like, sure. And so we pay. And then the busboy just happens to come by, clears off the table. And then we still haven't left. And the new waiter walks by and was like, no. You guys need drinks? And so we just, we never left the first fucking Trudy's. We never made it to a second Trudy's. So we just drank there. But we still should have done that.
Yeah, I tried it another time.
Did you?
Actually.
I never made it.
And I started up at, the other time I tried it, I started up at the Trudy's. Again, not driving. We had like a separate driver for this. I started up at the Trudy's North, drank both of them, came down to the Trudy's Texas Star, which is the one by campus, drank two there. We drove down to the Trudy's down south. And I ordered a fifth one, but I could not.
I was on that trip with you.
I could not stomach it.
Didn't make it through the fifth one.
No, it was like partway through the fifth one. Like everyone else at the table was like, all right, we'll help you finish that. It is.
Yeah, that's too many. I don't think you could do it.
Yeah, no, it's rough. It's really, and nowadays I can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine drinking one. Oh, man. Yeah, that was really dumb things.
I feel like I tried it too early in my drinking. I bet if I had done it at like 38, I could have fucking nailed it.
Way to go, man.
Probably why I don't drink anymore. It feels achievable even now when I think about I think back on it. I feel like I could do it.
It's because they taste so fucking refreshing.
They're so good.
You know,
and it's just like six drinks.
But you feel so bad by that. I still to this day remember what I felt like trying to drink that fifth one. Yeah. It was bad, really bad.
Yeah.
Like not being able to stand up straight. Bad.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I got a question for you guys. Y'all talked about a wedding where the tab had to get refilled a couple times. Was that my fucking wedding?
No.
Because that happened at my wedding too. But I knew. I mean, it's not like it was a surprise. I would have known it. I had not. I mean, you guys were at my wedding, but then we had another. I have another contingent of friends who are like musicians. So everybody at my wedding is a heavy drinker, and they had to come to us and be like, "Y'all already ran out of booze," and we were like, "We're not even fucking. We haven't even got married yet. Like, what happened?" And it's because those guys there, though, they were like, we told them, we were like, well, drinks, give them the bottom shelf stuff,
you
know?
They don't deserve good.
And people walk up and be like, can I get a margarita? They'd be like, you want Patron? Fuck, yeah, of course you're going to run through the tab quick.
No, it was someone else's wedding.
And you do know that person.
And in fact, that wedding that we were talking about, the Rooster Teeth account just posted a photo of Jeff and I dancing.
Was that at that wedding?
That was at that wedding. That was from that night, yeah. That was that same place. That was probably in 2002?
That was the night we talk about our friend Mushi sometimes. It was 01. He got cut off that night because his face turned bright red.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah. But and they were like, we can't serve you anymore.
It's not, I mean, and honestly, that's a little racist on their part.
Uh-huh.
It's not that he was drunk. It's just that he's Asian. And, you know, some Asian people get flush when they drink. It doesn't matter if they have, like, one drink or if they're, like, super fucked up. Some people will just get super flushed. And he'd only had, like, two drinks, and he got flushed and red, and they cut him off.
Yeah, he was pissed,
I remember. Could just be what you drank, too. Like, when I drank that damn hypnotic in Park City.
Oh, dude, that's
that?
A great... Let's talk
about that.
Let's talk about that fucking trip.
So we went to...
Sundance.
Was this the first,
this Sundance,
first, time,
first time
we
went
to Sundance? Yeah. We were staying in... We couldn't find a place. It was last minute, so we couldn't stay in Park City. We had to stay in Orem.
Yep.
So we had this house that we all, like, stayed in. And we had, like, it wasn't only us. It was, like, some other friends that we'd invited. And they'd invited friends. So it was, like, kind of like this party house. And there was this one guy we knew who had come down to stay with us. And he had, and this other girl we knew. And they were kind of interested in each other. So they were, like, being all lovey-dovey with each other. But the girl had brought another friend with her. And so we, like, had to entertain her while... The two of them were, like, being lovey-dovey, and that we so we were, like, we're, you know, being nice hosts to this girl. We're, like, well, you know, we were at a liquor store. Like, what do you like to drink? And she's, like, oh, I only drink hypnotic.
What?
We're, like, what the fuck is hypnotic?
What the
She's,
fuck?
Like, it's great. You'll love it. It's the only thing you want to drink.
What type of liquor was it?
I don't...
It's, like,
gross.
Blue.
Yeah, God, yeah.
It was, like, this frosted bottle. It's spelled, like, H-Y-P-N-O-T-I-Q.
Yeah, that's the only way you could spell it.
And so we're like, all right, fine,
gross.
Whatever. So we went back and we were playing, what were we playing, like Texas Hold'em?
We were
playing
cards
or something.
I did not like
it's
that girl.
It's a blend of natural, exotic fruit juices, premium vodka, and a touch of cognac.
It's vodka? Oh, cognac. Yeah. Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think you had never had it before. Well, none of us had ever had it.
No.
But you really wanted to try it.
I don't know if I really wanted to try it. I was just young and I would drink anything. And so I was going to try it. But yeah, I turned fucking red as shit from that.
I thought, on it,
I got puffy.
I legitimately thought we were going to have to take you to the hospital.
There were discussions. I remember it.
It's like, is his throat going to seal up? Is this going to be something bad?
Has that ever happened to you since?
Mm-mm. Never had hypnotic again. But I might.
We should try now.
Should try it and see. We should have done that for this podcast, but there's no camera here, so.
All I remember is that girl was hammered and just kept talking about how she was a good mom.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Everybody's like, nobody's saying you're not, you know?
I just remember seeing...
It's your, by the way, deal. We're trying to play cards.
I remember that girl trying to answer her phone. She had a sidekick, or she was using somebody else's sidekick, and, like, instead of having the side of the phone that would be the obvious side that you would talk into, she had it, like,
oh, yeah,
this,
she had it, like, backwards
and, she was trying to
and
use
upside
it,
down.
What is wrong with this girl?
Hypnotic.
Hypnotic.
Sunglass season is in full swing, and there's no better option than our friends over at Shady Rays. Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company that offers world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that we've worn, durable frames, and extremely clear polarized lenses for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection of all eyewear. Every pair is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. They also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order. They've donated over 20 million meals to date. Look good in your shades and feel good by making an impact. If you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Guess what? It's because their team always has your back. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com, use code ANMA, A-N-M-A, you know what it stands for, and get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try it for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. That was a fun trip, but it sucked because that house was like an hour away from Park City.
Yeah.
So it's like you would get up in the morning, drive in, do whatever events we had. Then like as a group, you'd have to like wrangle everyone and drive an hour back to the hotel or to the house in Orem. Was that the year I got the flu, or was that the next year?
I don't think you were sick.
It may have been the
trip.
Next year.
Oh, maybe
like,
you were.
I got the flu like at the very end of that trip.
No, I think it was the next year.
Okay.
Y'all went again. I don't think I went on that trip. It was like when you got drunk and peed on the snowman or whatever.
Yeah, we stayed in Park City that time. Yeah. We were staying at that condo. I think that was like our third trip to Sundance.
Did we have 3 trips to Sundance?
We had like 3 or 4. We had a few. Yeah.
Because
we stayed
once.
Was that the trip where you went and saw that movie, was it Alone in the Dark, or that shitty movie with That night attack.
Yes. It was Tara Reid.
Tara Reid. That was it.
Christian Slater, and it was a video game movie.
Yeah.
And we saw it. We saw it at like a mall, and we had to leave like 20 minutes in. We couldn't take it. Tara Reid was not a believable scientist. I remember that. She was like an archaeologist or something. And we were like, we can't do this. And that was fucking weird because we were like, we'll just rent some movies and go home. But all they had in the whole fucking state was clean flicks. Yeah. I remember that. And so every movie, like they had video stores that were just, it's Utah. So they were just like family friendly, safe. Oh. They would edit all the fun stuff out of every movie. And so you could like go rent Boogie Nights, but it was 8 minutes long.
It was a totally different movie.
Dude, now that you mention that, I'm surprised that we could even buy that Hypnotic stuff there because, like, all their beers are, like, 2.3%. They sell different versions of beer there and stuff.
If I remember right, I think it was all state-run liquor stores, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you couldn't just buy it at a grocery store or at any private liquor store. It was like what they call a package store, I think is what they called it.
Yeah.
You had to go to, like, the specific state-run booze place.
So now we're in some database. Dude.
And also, that was, if you remember that trip, anytime, I think the law has changed since then, but if you were going to a bar in Utah at the time...
Oh, you had to be like a member
or
something?
You had to be a member of that bar. So any bar you went into, you had to fill up a membership card and apply to be a member at that bar, and they would process it, and it would be like, what, it would cost you like $5 to apply to be a member, but as you were...
It was like a lifetime member or something,
yeah, they'd give you like a coupon for $5 off a drink. It was like, they totally... rigged the system.
Yeah.
Do you also remember that same time we went to the movies at the mall, they were giving away, they had some sort of a contest to give away a free wedding, and there was a line out the door, like hundreds and hundreds of young couples. They had to be like interviewed, and then I don't know if they found that, maybe it was for like a reality TV or show or something, but they were going to give them a free wedding. And we thought it was insane because there was maybe 200 couples in line and they were all blonde. It was like Village of the Damned. Yeah. It was like Hitler's wet dream. And it was like so fucking weird.
The reason I asked about the movie, about Alone in the Dark, is because I know for a fact then that is the year I got sick because I couldn't go to the movie because I was sick. So I wasn't there at the mall, so I couldn't see the line.
Yeah, it was weird, man.
Yeah, no, I did not see that. I do remember, I know the next, I think it was the next year I went to Sundance. Like the first year we went and, you know, I watched like a bunch of movies or whatever, you know, stuff that was in the festival. The second year I went, I did not see a single movie that was in the festival. The only movie I saw the entire time I went to Sundance was I went to a movie theater to watch the Peter Jackson King Kong movie. And that's the only movie I saw that entire trip to Sundance.
That had one of the best celebrity sightings we ever had too that first year. We saw I think it's Scott Farkas, is that his name? In Christmas Story, the guy that wears the coonskin hat.
Was it Farkas? Farkas was the neighbor.
That was the neighbor,
It was the bully.
It was the bully, dude.
Yeah.
And he was just like walking around with a coonskin cap taking photos of people.
Really?
He was like, hey, it's me, that guy. And everybody was eating
him. You looked him in the eyes, and it's like, oh, that's definitely the dude from A Christmas Story. We also, I don't know if you remember this, that same year, that first year, we were driving down the highway, and we pulled over for some reason, I think to like take a photo of like a mountain or something, and Pierce Brosnan was just standing there. Like in the middle of nowhere, like we just pulled over and we're like, hey, let's take a photo of this. Holy shit, it's Pierce Brosnan right there.
I feel like I vaguely remember
that. Yeah, it was like, oh my God. And I think a couple of us took a photo with Pierce Brosnan. Like just because we randomly pulled over on the side of a highway between Orem and Park City.
Did we take those Master Chief suits to the first one?
Yeah.
Who wore them? Matt and
Matt Jeff. And I wore them, I think.
That sucks, dude.
I had to be the blue guy and Matt, which I always thought was fucking insulting, and Matt got to be the red guy. And I remember walking around, and it was brutal because the it was like 10 degrees outside, so the mask fogged up instantly, so you couldn't see at all, and you can't walk at all in these things either. They're brutal. And so I was having to be held around with my hand, like my ex-wife was like walking me around, and then Bernie yelled at us because Master Chief can't hold hands in public, and I'm like, I fucking get it, but how am I gonna walk?
And also it was icy and treacherous.
Yeah, it was slippery as fuck, dude. It was Park City in fucking February. Yeah.
Does he know that Master Chief isn't real and can just do anything?
Well, we were very, very protective of the brand at the time because
we had been
given a lot of...
It was very difficult to even get these suits to begin with.
Yeah.
And
everything had to be approved, and they had been very kind to even let us... I mean, this is a tremendously valuable IP they were letting us fuck around with. And so we were trying to be really respectful of it, but, you know... Also, I didn't want to die.
Also, there was a human who was our friend in that suit.
Yeah. I was fucking mad that night about that.
That's the year that Crispin Glover movie was playing at Sundance.
This
Is It?
This Is It.
Or Is This It?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was.
It
like
wasn't the rap movie?
It was a trilogy. No, no, it was not the rap movie. It was a trilogy he made. It was. This is
what is it?
What is it? Fuck. Yes, it is, or this is it, or something like that. Yeah, I think we saw that at that big theater. Was it the Egyptian Theater?
Yeah,
is that what it's called? Like right there on the main Dragon Park City. Fucking weird ass movie. Have you ever heard of this movie, Eric?
No, I'm looking at it now, and it's just a fucking. It's insane looking. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's from the mind of Crispin Glover. I think he made three. I don't know if he made all three, but I think he had said he had envisioned it as being a trilogy. I want to say he made the second one, but I don't know if he ever made the third one. Yeah, it's a great place to watch weird ass movies you wouldn't see otherwise. I guess nowadays it's like easier with like digital distribution. You can just see whatever you want at any time, unless it was on HBO Max.
Another thing about those trips is, and I don't think I was involved in this, but at Slam Dance, there was a video game festival, and at least Bernie was involved in, like...
He was one of the judges.
Being one of the judges, and one of the game that won, I think...
No, it didn't win.
It came in second place, was a game called Narbacular Drop, sorry. It's been a long time ago.
It's also not a real word, so I'm not going to make fun of you for not getting it right.
Narbacular Drop, which got bought right after that by Valve, and it became Portal.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was a great game. Yeah, we had to play it. Like they had like an open floor where you go play all the games.
I remember that,
video game festival. You could play. Bernie dragged us all over to play Narbacular Drop, talking about how amazing it was and how good it was. It was like, yeah, it's a really fun game, and then Valve bought it, and they just reskinned it as well.
He was right.
They updated it a bit. It's pretty different. But
and they were like, we're not calling this thing Narbacular Drop.
People are going to call it Narbanacular Drop. Narbanicular Drop. It's going to be fucking stupid. I wonder what won that year. I wonder what beat Portal.
Narbacular Drop. I'm sure we can look it up.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't hear about Slam Dance as much anymore as you did back then. Like, back then it was like the hip alternative to Sundance. Like Sundance was all stuffy and artsy, and Slam Dance was like, you know, a lot more of that like renegades. It was not a civil goat.
And then there were more. There were a couple years there where there were like No Dance, and there was one or two years there were like five or six all at once going on there, and then they all died pretty quickly.
I went to Sundance again to give like a presentation with YouTube back in 2017.
Really?
Yeah. So it had been like, you know, over a decade since I'd been to Sundance. And I happened to be there at Sundance in 2017, the day Trump was inaugurated.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so like everyone woke up early that morning. Well, not everyone. Like, well, a bunch of people woke up early that morning and did like this protest march down like the main street there in Sundance.
That'll
or in
teach
Park
them.
City. I was like, no one... The people here, like, no, you're fucking kidding. Like,
yeah.
you're not demonstrating to anybody who's not on your side here.
Yeah,
I appreciate the effort, but it's not here. Yeah, I stood next to, when I was checking into the hotel for that presentation. I forgot what the hotel was that I stayed at. I checked in next to Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he must have been there. I don't know what movie he was promoting, but I was like, I turned to my left. He was actually on my left. I was like, oh, I didn't say anything. I was like, holy shit, it's Lakeith Stanfield, like standing right next to me, checking into the Marriott or wherever the fuck we are.
He seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah, really, really big fan of his work. I did not want to bother him, so I just silently freaked out in my head.
Yeah, like I like you enough to not acknowledge you.
Yeah, but yeah, it's crazy the celebrity sightings you can't have and the people who are just walking around there.
It's wild to think of all the kinds of trips we used to take back in those early days.
Dude, I got a trip to tell y'all about that I'm sure y'all remember that you haven't talked about because it's my shitty experience. And actually, it turned into y'all's shitty experience because do y'all remember going to New York? I don't know what it was for. And Bernie thought he was going to be real fucking funny.
It was the season one screening at the Lincoln Center.
Bernie thought it was going to be real funny to book me back home through an airport called Islip, which is like halfway out Long Island. It's like 60-something miles out Long Island.
Real dick move.
And so he books me for like the earliest flight in the morning. It's an hour and a half cab ride to get to this airport. And so I remember getting up super early, taking the sketchiest cab ride out to this airport, out in the middle of fucking nowhere, getting on my flight to get home. And I land, and I got some text messages and stuff, and it's Bernie telling me that everybody else's flights got canceled out of Newark because of a blizzard, and they ended up being stuck there for like 2 or 3 days, right? Oh
my God. Yeah, we were stuck in New York. You were the only one who got out because you flew out of Iowa first thing in the morning.
I was stuck 2 days longer than y'all because I flew like American, or I flew differently than everybody else somehow, and ended up getting stranded for an extra 2 days.
Yeah, I think the rest of us, we weren't all out of New York. I think some of us were New York, some of us were JFK, some of us were LaGuardia, but it's like every other airport got shut down. We were all stuck. I remember all of us being in that hotel lobby because we all had to check out our reservations were over. We were all in the lobby with our bags.
Trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, and it was like pre-smartphone like we know them today. So like all of us on our shitty-ass cell phones calling airlines trying to figure out a way to get back to Austin to rebook ourselves. That fucking sucked.
What did you do?
We all had to wait. Everyone rebooked differently. I think, you know, it was like, since we all booked differently going there, there was no like one master booking to rebook. So everyone had to call on their own. So we were all sitting there next to each other. We were all competing with each other, trying to see who could get back. And Jeff came out on the bottom. That's why he was there 2 days.
Yeah, but I made a fucking great vacation out of it. Like I visited friends. I had a good time. I remember thinking like, what a lucky fuck up that was for me. And by the way, you mentioned that Bernie did that to fuck with you. That's not hyperbole. That is, real.
Oh, no, he thought it was funny. He thought it was going to be funny.
What it was like to work in those early days.
He said
what
that
it was
to
like
our
to
face.
Work and be friends with Bernie in those early days. He was like, you will not believe what I'm about to do to Jason. And of course, Gus and I are like, fuck yeah. You know? As long as it's not us, it's not me.
We were all bullies.
It's payback for all the grenade throws.
We were all so rude to each other.
It was awful.
God damn.
There was another time. I don't remember which project it was for, but there's another time that Jason, you and I flew out to Portland to do a commercial.
Uh-huh.
And like we flew out on a one-way ticket because we weren't sure how long it was going to take. And I think we finished like in a day or two. It was really fast. And we were like, oh, shit, there's one more flight back to Austin tonight. If we like haul ass to the airport, we can buy a ticket. So we haul ass back to the down to the Portland airport. You know, we go up to the counter to buy the ticket. We still haven't bought the ticket at this point. And we're talking to the agent at the counter. She's like, yeah, there's only first-class tickets left. We're like, okay, yeah, we'll buy first-class tickets back to Austin. So we show up to the airport. But we're like, we need to get to Austin. First-class tickets. We'll buy those. She prints out our boarding passes. And then before she hands them to us, she takes out a pen. And on the boarding passes, she writes SSSS on both of them and hands them to us. And we're like, what the fuck does this mean? That's weird. And we get to security. And they see that. And they're like, oh, you need to step over here. And they went through everything we owned. It was like strip search.
Dude, I got
like,
no recollection of that. I kind of remember the
secret strip search
flight.
Is what it stands for.
Yeah.
It was like a late night flight, right? I remember that, but I don't remember the
And they were like
the pat down.
Yeah, it was more than a pat down. They like went through all of our shit. They like we had multiple people come and like wand us and like pat us down and just like
what year was this?
That would have been like
2006 or 7 probably.
Maybe
2006,
maybe
05, 05, 06, maybe,
somewhere right around there.
It was back in the time when it raised a lot of red flags if you bought a one-way ticket on the day of the flight.
Like an hour before the flight.
And probably didn't check bags.
And if you look like Gus.
I'll never forget. I to this day, the reason I'll never forget it is I remember what the Portland airport carpet looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I was just staring at it for so long at that security checkpoint waiting for them to let us through.
Millie took her first steps in that airport, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Her very first steps. Do you remember how those first like 6 or 7 years Bernie's name was similar to that of somebody on TSA
watch list.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so he had to go through enhanced security every time he went to the airport.
Really?
For any reason.
And
yeah.
it got to a point where if you traveled with him or you were on the same record locator as him, they would put you on the list too.
Uh-huh. So everybody would book separate from Bernie.
Yeah, we all had to book separately. if you got on the list by being on the same record locator as him, it was only temporary. It was only for like a couple of months and then you'd get off it. It'd be fine. But we all learned it. It was like, oh, shit, we cannot book with him
But it
anymore.
Was not temporary for him.
No.
For a very long time.
It was years.
Gus, you remember going to Amsterdam?
Of course I remember going to Amsterdam. We were in London for like 10 days.
I think it was like maybe 6, but we only had like a 1 day long commitment
and
or
it,
something like
it
that.
It was like a 1.5 hour long presentation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is this y'all and Joel? Or
yes.
This, okay.
Yeah, Joel's with us.
And so we go up there and, you know, first of all, it was my first time in London. Was that your first time in London? I tried to find us a hotel to stay at. And back then it was like $2 to the pound. So everything was like super fucking expensive. And I found like a Marriott. And I was like, fine, we'll just stay at this fucking Marriott. That's $600 a night for some reason.
Yeah.
And we get there, and I realize why. It's like, it's right at the base of the London Eye, right across from Parliament and Big Ben.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like, if you ever see like an establishing shot in a movie for London, like that, we stayed at that like right center in that shot. Like, oh, that's why this Marriott is $600 a night.
Right.
It looks like an old castle. So we show up, and you know, we check in and everything, and they're like, all right, great. Your panel got rescheduled. It's in 4 days. I'm like, well, shit, now we're in London for 4 days with nothing to do. I don't know if you remember this. We were walking down. So we walked out of the hotel. We walked by the base of the London Eye.
Yeah, and you got recognized.
Yeah. I was like, going to take a photo of you, like, at the base of the London Eye. And, like, some
dude,
random...
this is, like, early... The DVD wasn't even out yet, I don't think.
It was
or was it? Was it maybe was the season one DVD out?
This is back when Gus used to have those hand-burned DVDs that he would write RVB on and he would give out to people in the park.
I mean, this is definitely, like, the first time...
That's fucking true! I was there, dude! It happened to fries!
No, the dude handed me a DVD. I did not hand him a DVD.
You were like, I got a DVD in my car.
That is not true. That's not true at all.
Anyway, so Gus and I are trying to kill time. We're like, what are we going to do? And we go look at Waterloo Station just to check it out, and we're kind of looking at the board of departures, and we're like, damn, we could leave in about an hour and go to Amsterdam and just check it out.
You kind of manifested this.
What do you mean?
We were walking by outside of Waterloo, and you said, wouldn't it be crazy if we walked in there and there was a train leaving right now to Amsterdam? That's why we walked in, to look at the board.
Well, shit. No, we did have a little bit of time. We were like, oh, it's in like an hour. So we went back to the hotel, got like a backpack with a pair of underwear in it. We were like, let's fucking go to Amsterdam for a day. We'll come back tomorrow. So we get on this train. We get to Amsterdam.
We don't have a hotel or anything.
No. We end up finding one, which had one of the best hotel breakfasts I've ever had. I don't know if you remember that.
But it was a Crown Plaza.
So we get to Amsterdam. We're just walking around. We're like, well, now what? So we're like walking around. We're like, I guess we're supposed to find weed. Can we talk about this?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
So we're like, I guess we're supposed to find weed since we're in Amsterdam, right? So we're kind of walking around, and we smoke a joint or something like that at a bar. And then do you remember, Gus, you were like, we were somewhere, and you were like, oh, look, there's, like, this weed cake. And
dude,
I was like...
It was a hash brownie.
And I was like, don't do it. I was like, Gus, how often do you... I was like, how often do you eat weed? Because it's different, you know?
Yeah,
you
totally.
I was like, how often? You were like, never. I was like, don't get it. He's like, I'm going to get it.
I wanted the brownie, really. Shouldn't have. Boiled up. Listen, Jason.
I'm sure they sell regular brownies in Amsterdam.
I want to say, you were 100% right.
I know.
I should not have eaten that hash brownie.
Luckily, he wasn't out of commission for that. But he definitely, I was like, shit, man, this is going to ruin the rest.
It fucked me up. And we were there. I remember we were like, you know, what's the worst that can happen? We'll go down there. You know, we'll walk around. We'll find a hotel. Again, that's like pre-iPhone, pre-smartphone, like we know them today. I think we went to 5 different hotels before we finally found one that would let us check in. I think we said, worst case scenario, we'll just sleep in the train station. It's like, not that big a deal. We found that Crown Plaza. We just, like, we went out. And it was wild because, like, you walk out and you're like, you know, after, you know, this is my first time in Amsterdam. After having grown up in America, you're like, you know, you're kind of whispering, like, oh, should we do some drugs? Should we buy some weed? Mm-hmm. And then there's like...
Is my mom going to find out?
There's dudes on the corner everywhere who are like, coca, extra. And they're like, they're just like...
He's like, damn, dude, I was just going to smoke weed.
Like, what do you got in there?
Did Joel go with you guys to Amsterdam? Or was it just,
no,
did
man,
you guys peel
he didn't
off?
Want to have any fun us. At all, man. He was like, nah.
Was there something to that story about you guys going too far on a train and ended up in a
no.
sketchy
so,
neighborhood?
Yeah, kind of. On the way back.
So because of the fare we bought.
Yeah, we got lucky. On the way there, our train, you know, it got us there, you know, in the morning or in the afternoon or something. On the way back, we had to spend like 6 hours in the Brussels train station. And so we're like, yeah, we'll just sit there. It'll be fine. But of course we get there. It's like midnight and we're tired. And so we find some hotel across the way. And then we're, you know, we start drinking or whatever. We're like, we need some food. And so I don't know if you remember this the same way, Gus, but we get this, you know, we get a cab. We're like, take us to a part of town that's still open where we can eat. And so the guy's like, all right. So we're talking to him, shooting
real
shit.
Real friendly guy.
Yeah, he was super friendly. And he gets us to this part of town that's like, I mean, it's not like 6th Street. It doesn't seem like bars, but it's real lively. There's a bunch of restaurants and people out and stuff. And he's like, okay. He's like, y'all want to go eat here in this restaurant? And like, as we're getting out of the car, he's like, oh, and if anybody asks, you're Canadian. We were like, what the fuck? Where did he just drop us off, dude?
Yeah, he was legitimately looking out for us. Like, we had like such a good rapport. He was like, hey, just so you know, if anybody asks, you're from Canada. And I was like,
yeah, feel
okay.
good about this.
Okay, great. But it didn't matter because we went out. We started eating, and then we immediately started drinking again. And the 6 hours elapsed instantly. I remember getting on that train Or actually, I remember walking to that train. We had left the hotel, and our train was, we were in Amsterdam still, getting, you know, walking over to the train station. We had like a little bit of weed left, and I had it, and I was like, shit, what do we do with this, Jason? You know, we can't take it with us. I was like, should I throw it away? And you're like, nah, and you grabbed it from me, and you're like, here. And you just like left it on the ground, like, someone's going to smoke that. Someone will find that.
They probably did. Somebody did probably find that and smoke it.
But I remember we got on the train, and the train was packed going from Amsterdam to Brussels. So we couldn't sit next to each other, you know, not a big deal, whatever. And I had to, like, sit next to this, like, middle-aged man and his, like, 12-year-old son. And I was just, like, so fucked up, like... I sat down and immediately, like, I sat down and, like, as I was passing out, I could see, like, the 12-year-old, like, elbowing his dad and pointing at me and laughing. Well, I don't remember where you sat. I have no idea.
I don't either, man. I was probably underneath the seat or something.
I don't think you guys went on the trip to Edinburgh with me and Bernie.
Nope.
But we were at a bar, and I noticed that, like, at most bars in Europe, if they spoke English, they sounded American.
Mm-hmm.
And so we struck up a conversation with one of the bartenders, and I was like, so are you American? How'd you get here? And he goes, no, I'm from Canada. And then we talked to another bartender. Everybody's from Canada. And so eventually we came back around to this guy, and I was talking to him again, and I go, why? It's so weird. Like, is there some sort of a rule where, like, Canada, like, sends people out to be bartenders elsewhere? And he goes, no. He kind of looked around. He goes, I'll tell you the truth. He's like, we're all American. Like, everybody who says they're Canadian is America, but everybody fucking hates America, so we all just say we're from Canada and nobody bothers
us.
Yeah. Whoa.
Cool. I remember another side note about our Amsterdam trip. Before I ate the brownie, We were sitting in a bar, in like one of those coffee shops. Well, they call it a coffee shop, but it's like a bar.
We didn't have any fucking coffee, that's for sure.
And we're sitting at the bar, and there's this real cute bartender who's working, like, serving us drinks and whatnot. And I don't know, we're drinking beer or something. I remember, like, Jason asks her, like, what's your favorite beer? I want to drink whatever your favorite beer is.
Dumb shit with bartenders, like, this fucking guy.
And she's like, I'll get it for you, but it's real expensive. And Jason's like, yeah, no big deal, whatever. And she's like, no, like, once I get it for you, you have to pay for it. You have to buy it. It's really expensive. It's 10 euros for this beer. And she's like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. So she, like, goes into the cooler and pulls it out, and it's a fucking Corona.
She was fucking with me. And so I was like, oh, you're going to fuck with me? I drank, like, 7 fucking Coronas after that. I kept ordering them. I was like, give me another Corona. Until she finally, like, liked us.
Yeah,
I drank enough Coronas. She was like, okay, these guys
are all right. Well, you put her kid through college in one night, so...
Yeah, she came around. Either she came around or you got really drunk off that Corona.
God. Dude, I got another Corona story. And I'm pretty sure I've told you this one, Gus. I know I've told other people. Gus and I also were traveling one time to Santa Monica for work. And we went to this little old bowling alley that was there that had a bar that was like, there was just a little window. It was like a 2x2 window, and you could kind of see the bust of the bartender. And there were, like, some beers and stuff back there. And I was like, Gus, I'll get us some beers. And he went over to the lane, and I was like, what do y'all have? He had, like, 3 beers, and one of them was Corona. I was like, I guess give me 2 Coronas. And he goes, do you want limes? I said, sure. And so, you know, I haven't seen much of this guy. I've seen, like, the top of him. He puts the beers up, and he grabs a lime, and I see his hand come up. And he's got this, like, little shriveled black fucking nub of a pointer finger. And he pushes the lime all the way down into the Corona with that finger. And I was like, oh, I just needed lime in one of them. And that was the beer.
I forgot about that.
Sorry, guys.
No,
we're
great.
All still here.
It's all good. Oh, man. Yeah, that was like that bowling alley. It's like right off of Pico.
It's got to be
right
gone
by Ocean
now,
Boulevard.
Right?
Yeah, I remember that. It was like around the corner from where we were working. God, that fucking bowling alley.
Wasn't there a trip when you had, maybe it was you and Gavin. You had to go to New Jersey for a convention, and your booth was in the parking lot.
It was in D.C. Were you there?
Oh, yeah,
you were
for that, yeah. That's when we had that handler. It was really weird.
I kind of remember that. But yeah, I remember our booth being at the bottom of a parking garage, like beyond where they had the niceties of the convention set up. And so we were just by some concrete pole.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Like part of the convention floor was in the parking garage. I want to say that convention was called KatsuCon, if I remember
right.
And it was like in February in D.C. And it was
cold as fuck.
Because you were in a parking garage.
Feel free, we can cut this if we need to. But we had that handler. It was like the convention had assigned us like this person to help us get stuff, like a runner. Mm-hmm. And she just kept talking about getting fucked on top of a building while like other people watched.
Right.
Like she wouldn't drop it. And we're like,
please don't cut this.
And like every time she would bring it up, it would get like really eerily quiet. And we'd be like, it'd be like, okay, anyway, like you want to talk about anything else?
We were like, there's no roof access here. Drop it.
So fucking bizarre. We went to so many weirdo events like that. I think that's the only year we went to that one.
Do you ever miss going to conventions like that?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of like walking around, seeing what's going on, but I don't really miss traveling for that specific purpose. It was always kind of stressful.
There was that one year where it was only you and me, Jason, at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yes, I do remember that.
And it was like we had to coordinate when we were going to the bathroom or when we were going to eat because we both could not leave at the same time.
Yep.
Did you guys not have a Caleb or a Gavin
or
anything?
No, it was just the two of us.
I don't know whose idea that was.
That must have been like the last year we did Comic-Con.
I
don't think so.
This was like 08 maybe, 07?
Why?
I don't know. I think everyone else was doing something else. Yeah. And it was like, well, shit, Jason and I got to fucking go to San Diego.
Yeah, we can handle it.
Do everything by ourselves. What a nightmare. It was awful. It was really bad. Like not having any downtime at all.
Dude, Comic-Con's a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot of work.
At least the way we used to do it.
Yeah, because you got
to
show up early. You got to unpack everything. You got to set everything up. Then even once it's done, you got to tear everything down. You got to ship it all out. It's so much more than just like standing there and like talking to people. There's a lot of physical manual labor.
Comic-Con is probably why I love Caleb, Gavin, and Barbara as much as I do because they were such helps when
year.
We were doing that convention. Not that year, obviously. Well, I mean, they were probably helping me at a different convention, so I was probably appreciating the hell out of them. I was thinking about this just a second ago, trying to determine when the last time the three of us performed in some way together. I don't know if this is considered a performance, but the last time we were on mic together, and I think it must have been, we've never really talked about this too much, but I think it must have been that drunken RVB recording we did.
We
tried to redo episode 2. Is that what we were doing?
I don't remember exactly
that was the goal.
But the goal, the way it worked is we agreed to do it as a Extra Life stretch goal, I want to say. And so we all got together to do a drunken RVB recording, and we recorded Eric for over 2 hours. Uh-huh. The last thing I remember two moments of the night.
This was in the broadcast space in stage 5.
This is stage 5. Yeah. I remember Matt Hullum taking a full bottle of Jack Daniels, like a full handle of it, and throwing it behind him like that and just hearing it explode.
That was you!
I did it after he did it. I did do it later because he did it first. I don't remember doing it, but I think you're right. I think I did do it.
Gross. He just froze.
He was like, no, you're right. I did do it too. But I did it because Matt did it first. Because I was like, oh, if Matt does it, it's fine. He's the boss. And I think we all agreed, like, everything that we talked, like, nothing could come out of that. I remember it being an insanely fun night.
We never got to the fucking read of the script.
We never got to the read of the script. I think Gus got
mad. Well, by the time we got to it,
I
had left, too.
Yeah. You left.
I just disappeared. I said I was going to go to the bathroom, and I just didn't come back.
I remember saying goodbye to you in the parking lot. I think we both went to the bathroom at the same time, and you were like, I'm leaving. And I was like, are you? And we had drivers for everybody. I remember that. But I think eventually, and then Bernie was like, we can never release this. But we were like, we have to because we promised it. So I think we released something like 7 minutes.
It was like a very, but very, very much cut down.
Over 2 hours of just, oh my God.
Frustration.
Yeah. Frustration, yeah.
Not the first time that I disappear when we're trying to record something because I get so frustrated that it's not happening.
That might be where I've seen you hit your limit the most in my life is when you get like Bernie and Matt and Jason, Joel, Gus, Jeff, I guess, together, and then drinking starts happening and work tries to happen through the drinking.
Yeah.
And if Bernie is into the drinking, like if Bernie is in it with everybody and is like, yeah, let's have fun, Gus is gone in like an hour.
Yeah, it's because it's not productive. Nothing's going to come of it. It's pointless.
Stories come of it.
Stories. Well, it was even worse back when we had to drive all the way to fucking Buda.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the time you hit a deer?
Yeah. I think
so. You didn't do it on purpose.
I didn't do it on purpose.
We're driving out, like, Bernie's house was really in a rural area of Buda, so we'd have to drive out there, and, you know, we were working all these weird hours, and I remember one time we'd finished whatever we were doing, and we'd left, and we all had separate cars, and I got a call from Jeff. And Jeff was like, hey, I'm out here in Buta still in the middle of nowhere, and I hit a deer. I don't know what to do. I think it's still alive.
Oh, my God.
So,
and I'm, you know, I think you called me because my dad was a game warden. Like, I had experience like deer hunting and shit like that. And I think what I told you was just leave it.
Yeah. And I called my ex-wife too, because I was actually going to see her. And I was like, I'm going to be late. And also, I'm not sure what to do. I feel terrible. I was leaving and I hit a deer, just ran across the street. And I had that old Chevy C10 pickup truck. It was a tank. And I hit the deer and I just kept driving because I didn't, you know, I was kind of in shock, but I could hear the deer like bleeding in the background. So I pulled over and I was scared to turn around. I called you. I called her. I think she said, go to a neighbor's house and see if somebody's got a gun to put it out of its misery. And I was like, fuck. And I think you said, just leave it. And I thought, I gotta kill this thing. I gotta put it out of its misery. So I turned around and I thought, maybe I can run it over it just right and kill it.
By the way, don't knock on rural Texans' doors in the middle of the night and ask for a gun.
Did not do that. I did not do that. I did not do that. That was not good advice, and I didn't take that advice. So I thought, I got a big-ass pickup truck. I can probably run over a deer's head, and it'll kill the deer humanely, or quickly at least, and then it won't be in any more pain. And so I turned my truck around, and I, like, the deer's in the middle of the street just, like, sitting there. So I back up, and I'm, like, lining it up to try to hit it. And as I'm doing that, the deer gets up and just runs away. And I went, oh, fuck, problem solved. So I hit the gas, and I start driving again, and another deer runs out, and I hit the other deer. And then that deer just, like, bounced off my car and got up and ran away. And I was just fucking crying at that point, and I just drove home.
Y'all talked about y'all's old truck before, yeah. And Jeff, do you remember that you bought that truck from my friend Sean in San Antonio?
I do.
I don't know if you ever told this story, that we went, I took Jeff down there to get that truck, and we met my friend Sean at an HEB, and we left, and then, or had we already left? Somehow Jeff was like,
left.
Where's the title? I don't have the title. Like, I know I got it from him, and we went back to HEB, and it was just on the fucking floor of HEB by the checkout.
It had just dropped, and we, like, searched HEB and found it, thank God. I also remember that you told me...
I like the passive voice, it had just dropped.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It came out.
It just fell out. I don't want to blame Sean, but he obviously dropped it. I remember, too, you told me the next day that after that you're talking to your friend Sean, I think I paid $4,000 for that truck.
Yeah, or $3,500.
And your friend Sean was like, "Man, I would have taken like $3,500 for it." And you told him he would have given you $6,000. And she said, "Your friend Sean went, oh man,
it's fucking great."
Dang.
Oh my God. We should start wrapping up.
Okay,
we're getting on to time. This was really good though. First guest ever.
Yeah,
we did it.
Thank you for being our first guest,
no problem,
Jason.
Man.
And do you have a guest for the name?
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh.
ANMA is an acronym we know is Dream Logic.
Right.
The N is not its own word. There might be Spanish.
Oh, man. See, I wish I would have had some more time to think about
this. I didn't
this.
Say there might be Spanish. I said it might not only be English.
Oh, so it might be, what is it, Japanese? Now he's giving you new
fucking languages
new
do you
hints.
Know? Is so it Korean?
Listen, I already said enough. I said too much.
Well, I have no idea then. Is it always need my Arby's?
Oh!
You know how I feel about Arby's, but no, that's not it.
People are guessing Angrily Missing Austin. I don't think that's going to be the name. Hang on, I have to read the worst guess we've ever gotten.
Kokomo, Indiana.
Dude, I can't... If you... This is the last episode of the season, so I can do this. It doesn't... I mean, I could have done it at any time. If you want to tweet at us and let us know that Kokomo is a real place, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Save it. Tweet it, not at us. You can just tweet it out loud. Fuck off. Hey, there's a Kokomo in Indiana. Do you think that that's what the fuck the Beach Boys wrote about when they wrote Kokomo? Are you out of your fucking mind? Get real. Like, take a step back and go, hang on. Doesn't make sense. I should keep it to myself. So that's just to you. If you go, yeah, all those other people, and then you tweet that at us, this is about you, and you don't realize it, and that's the worst. That's the absolute dirt worst. My God. Okay, the worst guess that I've seen, I can't assign a name to it. They said it's hidden in plain sight. Keep Austin weird.
Okay.
None of that doesn't work.
Well, they tried.
That doesn't make sense.
Wait, have we ever talked about, didn't the company that we used to work with for our merch, didn't they come up with the Keep Austin Weird
Outhouse Designs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah. They're our very first merch company.
Yeah. They, yeah. Yeah. That was, that's like their
they
thing.
Like coined the Keep Austin Weird phrase.
Wow. That's really cool.
I liked those guys.
We're off for the next 2 weeks. This is the last day. Well, I mean, well, we might do a supplemental. It's just a matter of time.
Sounds like Gus is off for the next 2 weeks.
Gus is off
for the
next
2 weeks. And you and I will be scrambling to figure out what to fill it with, Eric.
We'll figure something out. We'll maybe record something short. But if you want to follow us, keep up to date on the show, at Anima Podcast on Instagram and on Twitter. Guys, any parting words, anything like that?
Hey, I've got a parting note.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was an episode where Gus went on his Terry's tirade,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay, so when y'all were talking about the Hilbert's name,
yeah.
And you talk about it being a combination of Hills and Burt's, right? And
yeah.
Then you were talking about where Burt's barbecue
yeah.
was, and you said, yeah, it's across from the Taco Cabana. I don't know what that is now. You know what it is? It's a fucking P. Terry's, Gus.
You know, that's a good point. Jason, you are from San Antonio, but you have lived in Austin longer than, or about as long as us, maybe longer, and you know Austin better than anybody I know. And all of my homes I bought because of you, I think. Almost all
of them. I think I found most of them.
You found most of them.
Yep.
You found my new home like an hour after I had already found it, but I bought my second house because of you.
Yeah, I found the Rooster Teeth downtown office on Craigslist.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
You did.
Fucking Craigslist?
You are the most plugged in person to Austin I know, and we didn't spend enough time talking about Austin with you because
yeah.
we got caught up on the RT memory train. Mm-hmm. We should have you back someday if you ever want to come back again so we can talk more specifically about Austin stuff.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, cool.
Austin, my Austin.
Is that the name?
No, I'm just signing off.
Jesus Christ. Jeff, anything? Wise words while we're off? Well, Gus is off for 2 weeks?
No, you know, I should probably have a meeting soon to figure out what we're going to record while he sticks his thumb up his ass.
Ah, vacation.